Now let us listen for God's word from selected verses from the Gospel of John, chapter 18 and 19. Jesus was taken from Caiaphas to the building where the Roman governor Pilate stayed. Pilate called Jesus over and asked, "Are you the king of the Jews?" Jesus answered, "Are you asking this on your own, or did someone tell you about me?" Pilate said, "Your own people and the chief priests brought you to me. What have you done?" Jesus answered, "My kingdom doesn't belong to this world. If it did, my followers would have fought to keep me from being handed over to our leaders." "So you are a king," Pilate replied. "You are saying that I am a king," Jesus told him. "I was born into this world to tell about the truth, and everyone who belongs to the truth knows my voice." Pilate asked him, "What is truth?" After he had said this, Pilate went back out and said to the crowd, "I don't find this man guilty of anything. Would you like for me to set free the king of the Jews?" They shouted, "No, not him. We want Barabbas." Now Barabbas was a terrorist. The crowd said about Jesus, "He claimed to be the Son of God. Our law says that he must be put to death." When Pilate heard this, he was terrified. He went back inside and asked Jesus, "Where are you from?" But Jesus did not answer. Then Pilate wanted to set Jesus free. But the crowd again yelled, "If you set this man free, you are no friend of the emperor. Anyone who claims to be a king is the enemy of the emperor." When Pilate heard this, he brought Jesus out. "So you want me to nail your king to a cross?" Pilate asked. The chief priest replied, "The emperor is our king." Then Pilate handed Jesus over to be nailed to a cross. It's all a sham, but it's inevitable too. The late night covert op by the temple police and the imperial army, aided by a paid informer. Jesus taken first to Annas, father-in-law of the high priest, and then to Caiaphas, the high priest himself, but neither of them wants to deal with this increasingly tricky situation, and Jesus is packed off to Pilate. What seemed a purely religious quarrel, a difference of opinion with, and a threat to the religious authorities, is now apparently a matter of homeland security. There are no real charges against Jesus, just rumors and trumped up accusations, deliberate misrepresentations of his visions, and there is fear. After Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead, local officials, both religious and political, were terrified that people would rally around Jesus even more and his followers become so numerous that he could mount an insurrection against the Roman Empire. And none of those in religious power wanted that. For no matter how harsh the Roman occupation could be, and no matter how much some managed to benefit from it, everyone knew what Rome was capable of, what violence and destruction it might rain upon Jerusalem to quash any challenge to its authority. This middle of the night trial, this hastily issued judgment, it's unjust and a mockery, but it was bound to happen. It didn't matter that Jesus wasn't interested in insurrection or the kind of power that comes with it. "My kingdom is not of this world," Jesus said. But Pilate, among others, couldn't understand that. Jesus' death was inevitable. In the same way that Gandhi's death was inevitable, that Dr. King's death was inevitable, and Bishop Oscar Romero's, as inevitable as the attempted assassination of then 15-year-old Malala Yousafzai. Those who fight for equity, peace, and justice are always a threat. And it isn't hard to make them figures of fear, not just to those whom their work threatens, but to those whom it would benefit. And we know where the combination of mob violence and self-serving leadership can lead. But as James Cullen wrote in The Cross and the Lynching Tree, the gospel of Jesus is not a rational concept to be explained in a theory of salvation, but a story about God's presence in Jesus' solidarity with the oppressed, which led to his death on the cross. Pilate, dithering between the increasingly worked up crowd and the fearful religious leaders, worried about Rome stripping him of power should the Jewish people start rioting, Pilate goes for the most expedient solution. Get rid of this troublemaker. Give in to the mob. The people will be happy. Rome will be happy. And he handed Jesus over to be crucified. How quickly the world changes. Oh, there are still hasty and unfair trials, mockeries of justice, mob violence, and violence by so-called keepers of the peace. There are still power struggles between those who seek justice and those whose power rests upon injustice. And those with the least power bear the brunt of such violence and injustice always. That hasn't changed with the death of this king of the Jews. What did change, perhaps, is this. In his relentlessly loving commitment to serve the least and the last, to join in solidarity with the worst of human suffering, in his utter trust in God, we learned from Christ to what lengths God will go out of love for us, and what power love has, God's love and ours. What is truth? Pilate asked. Christ is the truth and the way and the life, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. And from the cross, this servant king calls us to citizenship in a subversive kingdom, one not bounded by borders of nationality or ethnicity, of gender or race, of ideology or even theology, but made boundless by the enduring love of God with us. And the kingdom will come.